Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so glad you joined us today. And we have an exciting show today. We have our dear friend Zev Perat from Israel on, and my partner in crime, Don Wildman from California, is with us. Hi, Don. Hi, Zev.
Shalom. Hi.
Shalom, Zev. Welcome. Hi, Don.
Hi, Christina. How are you today?
I'm great. How's everybody? Glad you guys joined us.
Absolutely.
I know. So this is going to be exciting. We're going to talk a little bit today about Rabbi Kaduri, the story of Rabbi Kaduri, which is very interesting, and then see where the Spirit leads from there. We'll share some of the exciting things that are happening in Israel with Zev's ministry. And before we get started, Zev, do you want to just share a little with the audience about yourself and what's going on, but we need to open in prayer first. Let's open this show right. So, Don, would you like to open us in prayer?
Absolutely. As I walk away.
Walk away.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for the blessings we see around us each and every day, the blessings of this show. Christina, Zev and his ministry, and he and Lynn, their work in Israel, the work of untold numbers of people across the country and the world. We really do need to stop and feel blessed for the uncovering that we see happening. We also would like to ask you, Lord, to continue to bless us with wisdom and guidance so that we come to your path and your journey and your time. We ask for all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's kind of get started and see where the Spirit leads us, guys. Zev, you want to just share a little with the listeners that maybe you're new and they don't know you. Just share a little quick thing about yourself, and then we'll get into talking about Rabbi Kaduri, the Rabbi Kaduri story, which is really exciting, and a lot of things are happening in Israel with that right now. So go ahead, Zev.
Well, shalom, everybody. My name, of course, is Zev Porat, and I'm a Jew that believes in Yeshua HaMashiach. I come from a rabbinic family. I was an Orthodox Jew. My grandfather, father, and ancestors were all rabbis and dayans. Dayans means judges of rabbis in the rabbinic courts. And by a miraculous miracle, supernatural miracle, after 4 years of listening to the gospel through the Old Testament on the internet, I accepted Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel. Since then, I've been on fire for the Lord and proclaiming his word. And we have a ministry right now that, of course, it's not our ministry. It's Yeshua's ministry, messiahofisraelministries.org. I invite you to join us there and to partner with us and sign up to get email letters with live updates from Israel about evangelistic news that's happening. And just like I received Yeshua HaMashiach after 4 years, in a vision that God spoke to me, and he said that Isaiah 53 is the Messiah, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, who was one of the biggest rabbis in the history of Israel, came to know Yeshua Mashiach, and in fall of 2005, he died at the age of 108 years old. He was one of the biggest Jewish leaders in Israel, as I said, and he revealed the name of Yeshua HaMashiach in a letter.
As I recall, that letter was posted online too, but there's more to the story before we get to the posting and what the letter said, because wasn't it a year after his death that they were allowed to open the letter he left behind?
Absolutely. He left a note saying that a year after his death, a year after his burial, the note should be opened, and he gave specific instructions how to read the note. Praise the Lord that the rabbis or the webmaster, whoever was responsible to put that note on the internet, didn't follow the instructions and put the note right on the internet. And the note was there, and I saw it, and many people saw it and downloaded it. Then they went and they read the instructions, and when they followed the instructions led them to see that the rabbi proclaimed that Yehoshua or Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah of Israel. They immediately were in shock. They took the note off of the internet. They took it off of the, you know, television broadcasts and everything, but it was too late because the message was already out, and that was part of God's plan why he did it that way. And, of course, you know, they've done, the media has done everything they can to cover up this story. But right now, there's a book out, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah by Carl Epps. And, of course, I'm also in the book and in the DVD because I'm witnessing to the Rabbi Kaduri students. And right now, the story that the media has been covering up for the past 2 years is surfacing more and more in Israel and around the world. And it's just a message, because no matter how much you try to cover up God's word, it can't be done. When God has a plan, people are going to hear about it. And people are hearing about it right now. And people are coming into salvation because of this note. And, well, it's because of the Holy Spirit, but the note is being used as a tool. So we pray
Zev, the backing Lord. Up just a little bit, to give the listeners an idea of how powerful this really is. Would you share with them the story of Rabbi Kaduri before he passed away, when he spoke that he had found Messiah himself? He'd had, sessions with Messiah where he came to know, and then he spoke he stood up on a holiday and spoke in a synagogue, and which was quite unusual. So would you share that story with the listeners? Because that's kind of significant.
Okay, in the fall of 2003, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri proclaimed that he knew, he had a vision of the Messiah, and he knows who the Messiah is, but he didn't say who it was, and he told his son, I have had many visions about the Messiah, and I know who the Messiah is. And you have to understand that Rabbi Kaduri came from modern Iraq, and when he was 13 or 16 years old, another big rabbi had a prophecy over him, and he said, one day you're going to be a big, great rabbi, and many people are going to come to you for blessings, and they're going to look up to you. And so he pretty much followed that prophecy, because really he had an amazing capacity to to study and to memorize books by heart. And then when he came to Israel in 1990, when he was already pretty old at that time, he was in his late 90s already, another rabbi proclaimed and said that before you die, you will see the Messiah of Israel. Well, in the year 2003, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri started to fulfill that prophecy, and he told his son and other people that he's seen the Messiah. In 2005, Rabbi Kaduri stood up in a synagogue in the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur, which is the most holy holiday for the Jewish people around the world. He stood up in a synagogue and he said that he knew who the Messiah is, and he said that the only way you can get redemption of sins is through the Messiah. Now, he didn't say who that Messiah is. Now, I want to just a little bit explain how amazing and how dangerous it is what he said and how supernatural it is, because first of all, rabbis don't give messages. And the fact that he stood in a synagogue on the Day of Atonement and gave a message is already something supernatural. Rabbis would, you know, they read the Haftorah readings, which is the Torah scroll, the reading for the same week. That's what they do. They don't give messages. The only time a rabbi would give a speech would be maybe in a bar mitzvah or in a wedding or something. But in general, rabbis don't give messages. So he stood up, he gave a message. I believe that they didn't throw him out of the synagogue because who he was. Now, nobody thought in their mind that when he said Messiah and he said redemption of sins, that he was speaking about Jesus, Yeshua. They didn't even go to that direction. And he said that he wrote a note, and after he passes away, a year later, you're to open the note. Well, in 2006, he passed away, and the world waited for the note. What was the note? I'm sure that many rabbis and many spiritual leaders in Israel thought that he was going to maybe say that one of them is the Messiah. They were kind of waiting for that. No one thought about Yeshua at the direction. Well, the note was open. It was on the news. And as I said, there was instructions on the note. Nobody read the instructions until they put it on the Internet. They read the instructions, and the note said that Yeshua is the Messiah. It not only shocked Israel, it shocked the whole world. And his son, David Kaduri, he's in his 80s, who's also a main rabbi in Israel, at the beginning he said, yes, my father left the note, when he didn't know that it was Yeshua. After he found out it was Yeshua, he said, my father never wrote the note. And he tried to convince Israel Today. Israel Today posted a big article about it with the letter. And then he said, he brought him other letters, and he said, it's not my father. Well, he couldn't get out of it because he had one problem. The problem was, if the note was not written by your father, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, what was it doing on the website? Why would anybody put a note that's not real on the website? And obviously he didn't have an answer, so he couldn't really get out of it. And they, as I mentioned before, I mentioned also my newsletters, that Israel is not a religious state, but it is controlled by religious leaders. Even right now, we see the Knesset, the government parliament, there's no religious people. They've been taken out of this Knesset, but they're still in control no matter what. And they have a story. They managed to take it out of the news. They managed to, make it disappear. But you know what? There were students of Rabbi Kaduri. He proclaimed the message that Yeshua is the Messiah in his yeshiva, even before the letter, apparently to a very small group. I don't know if there's 100 students or 1,000 students, but slowly, slowly, God is bringing them in my path, and we've already got 10 that came to faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, and more are going to be coming to faith from Rabbi Kaduri's letter and from what he taught in the yeshiva. And now the book is out. Now the DVD is out. We're using that as an evangelistic tool. Not only Rabbi Kaduri students are coming into faith, secular people are coming into faith. I had an opportunity to preach the gospel in a mosque last week. How? Don't ask me how. It's supernatural. I managed to talk to Rabbi Kaduri with an imam who got fascinated by it. And before you knew it, so the story is getting out there. So it's just a matter of time before the streets of Israel are going to be flooded with this story. And the rabbis are going to have a very, very big problem explaining the letter.
I bet they are.
Well, the thing that fascinates me about this is So before Zev, I didn't know anything about Rabbi Kadori. And you can, at least to me, you can always tell how important things are by seeing how the stakeholders spin the information. So if you look up, if you Google Rabbi Kadori, those that want to make sure his message is not out have spent an awful lot of time trying to change the message that he had. So that's usually one of those things that says to me is a big red flag. If people don't want information to get out, this is how they deal with it.
They're trying to discredit the story is what they're trying to do because they do not want this story to come out.
Yes.
So they're trying to discredit it. We saw one article where they were literally saying you can't have a vision like this and you can't do this and God doesn't do this and he doesn't do this. Well, God can do anything he wants, as we've established, because you can't put God in a box and say, no, you can't. God can only do this. Then he wouldn't be Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, would he, if he could only do X, Y, and Z? I mean, it's incredible the lengths that people are going to discredit the story. Not only that, but I know, Zev, you're also getting some quite a few attacks in Israel, aren't you? People are coming against you. Because not only of the Rabbi Kadori story, but the fact that you're ministering to the Rabbi Kadori students now.
Well, first of all, you know, I've been getting persecution for preaching the gospel way before the Rabbi Kadori students even came to faith, but now it's just going up to a new level. Yes, I received several emails today, another one, leaders here in Israel. I don't know who they are, and, you know, who knows who's writing these letters, telling me to stop preaching the gospel, to stop sharing this lie about the book. He said the book is written by a Christian. It has no basis to it, no value to it. I said, you know, and if you don't stop preaching the gospel and you don't stop spreading these lies, you're going to be in big trouble. And you know what? They even said that they'll put the Pulitzer curse on me, which is the curse they put on.
Is that the same curse they put on Ariel Sharon?
It's the curse they put on Ariel Sharon.
You want to share that with the listeners, Zev? What happened with that?
I will, absolutely.
You should, because it's a huge part of the story on the Internet.
Yes. What I'm trying to get at, you can't put a curse out of God.
Amen.
We're covered by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. Those curses can't affect us because he who lives in us is stronger than the one in the world.
That's amen, Zev.
You know, so I'm not afraid of any curses or anything. Fortunately, do the...
You had the power of the Spirit covering you in a mosque. I mean, I think that the Almighty God, that speaks for who Almighty God is, the God that we serve.
Okay, well, first of all, the curse they put on Ariel Sharon is called the Pulsa Denora, and it means the lashings of fire. It's a Kabbalistic curse that rabbis put. They call it the demonic world, and they put a curse on someone that until that person just suffers and suffers and suffers until he finally dies. And of course, we know that Ariel Sharon was in a coma for 8 years. But what's really amazing here is that Rabbi Yitzhak Kadori said that the Messiah will not come again until Ariel Sharon passes away. Now, when he said that, when he prophesied, not in a coma, although he did know, because it was on the news, that the Pulsa Denora curse was put on Ariel Sharon, they said that on Channel 2, Channel 10, and Channel 11 news in Israel. So we knew about the curse. Weeks after Rabbi Kadori passed away, Ariel Sharon lapsed into a coma for 8 years. The letters opened after a year, and it says that Yeshua is the Messiah. So we got to talk about the curse because, you know, obviously the rabbis are threatening me with the curse. I emailed them back, but, you know, today I had to email them back because of the curse, and I said, Yeshua bless you, but I'm covered under the blood of the Lamb, and I never got a response. So praise God for that. So we're not afraid of the pulse of the Torah, and we're not afraid of the pulse of Satan, and we're not afraid of anybody, because if God is with us, who can be against us?
Amen to that.
That's my point, too. So if you read it on the Internet, you don't know anything, you go to look up, excuse me, Rabbi Kadori, what you find is a lot of people who have taken a lot of time and energy to make sure that the original message is obscured by their information, which says that his message was that the Messiah is coming, not that Yeshua was the Messiah. So that's why I bring it up, because if anybody else is like me, you don't really know about a subject, you go on the Internet, you Google it, you Wikipedia it.
Well, that's exactly why, Don, I would encourage anybody that's listening today or be listening in the future to buy the book, whether it's on Amazon, on Kindle, electronic book, or order it direct online, and buy the DVD from WND, because the book
What's
and the DVD...
The Messiah, the Rabbi Who Found Messiah by Carl Gallup.
I would encourage everybody to get the book, because that's the full story of Rabbi Kadori from the time he was in Iraq until the time he did, about the note, about everything that happened. And if you didn't get the book yet, then I really encourage you to get the book. I know that they've already had 3 printings of the book. They're on number 4 right now. They've been sold out. It's on the way to be a bestseller. And you know why? You know why it's a bestseller? Because it talks about Yeshua HaMashiach.
Well, it's time. You know, God has his timing, and now is the time for this message to come forth because of where we are in time. And I really think God is bringing this message forward today, and especially because of the work you're doing with the Rabbi Kadori students as well, because that they're going to play a powerful role in all of this.
Yes, they are. You know, mentioning, you know, the time has come. I'll give you an example of a little bit of – I did 2 outreaches today, but I can tell you a little bit about – God just put it in my heart to start walking into businesses in Israel and start asking, do you have a website? And they say, yes. I said, well, can someone access your website without your permission? And they said, no. And I said, so everything on your website is – you put it up there. They said, yes. I said, well, so do you think that – if a rabbi, a big rabbi in Israel, or the prime minister of Israel has a website, someone can access the website? He said, not without his permission. I said, you're right about that. Now, you know that the biggest rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Yitzhak Kadori, on his website, there was a letter that said that Yeshua is the Messiah. Do you think that's fraud? Well, they said if it was on his website, it can't be fraud because it's on a website. So basically, people, by their own testimony, proclaim that the letter's true.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I brought 15 people to the situation where they finally looked at the book and they realized that, you know, I use the e-logic to bring them to the logic. Now, there's people in the store. People are listening to this. So I would say about 100 people in Israel today heard that Rabbi Yitzhak Kadori said that Yeshua is the Messiah.
Wow. Now, Zev, haven't you shown the book and the video to the companion DVD to the Rabbi Kadori students? And what is their thoughts on this?
I'll share about that before I get to the DVD and sharing with the Rabbi Kadori students. I want to just say how I found out about the Rabbi Kadori students. I was on the way back from an outreach. And I was in a light. It was 11 o'clock at night. And an Orthodox man approached my car. And in his hand, he had these blessings. And I knew there were rabbinic blessings. And I usually don't go flat out and tell people Yeshua is the Messiah unless the Holy Spirit tells me. But God said, tell him Yeshua is the Messiah. So I roll my window down. He sticks a blessing in my window. And I said, I can't take this blessing. And he asked me, we're in a red light. He asked me, why not? I said, because I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And he looks at me and he says, so do I. And then we met over the light, And then I found out that he was a student of Rabbi Yitzhak Adouri. I started to disciple him about 9 or 10 months because obviously he knew Yeshua as the Messiah, but he didn't have the full gospel, meaning he didn't know that he died on the tree for our sins, rose after 3 days, and by his blood we have full redemption of sins. That part he didn't know. Whether Rabbi Yitzhak Adouri taught the full gospel or not, I don't know, but I'm finding out that they don't know the full gospel. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit revealed to him the full gospel. He proclaimed that Yeshua is the Messiah. He understood that he's a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. He was on fire. He wanted to tell the world. I said, there's no better place to tell the world than on video. We did a video. It's on our website. If somebody hasn't seen it, with Eliyahu, the first Rabbi Kaduri student to proclaim that Yeshua is the Messiah. And from then on, we went to the yeshiva. Yeshiva is a Bible school of Rabbi Kaduri in Jerusalem and other places. Started to disciple more people. We got 10 coming into faith right now already, proclaiming that Yeshua, more are going to be coming, not just Rabbi Kaduri students, also Orthodox students. And that's a little bit of explanation how I got involved with Rabbi Kaduri students. Now, the book and the DVD, I showed the DVD last week, or the week before, I believe, to the Rabbi Kaduri students, 10 of them, the ones. Five of them English and five of them don't, so I had to translate. So like a movie, the movie's an hour long about. It took me like 3 hours to watch the movie, which is great because I had to translate everything to them. And I was translating the movie, and they all said, amazing. They all confirmed that everything is true on that DVD, and they all said the media has done everything they can to cover this story up. We need to show this to the world. So actually, it got them motivated. The DVD got the rabbi motivated to go and to share this. It was like a Holy Spirit fire up. I don't know how to call it. And right now it's just amazing. I'm telling you, God can. We serve an awesome God, and the message is going to go out. And I encourage everybody to get the DVD and the book, not just for the knowledge, but to go and to share this with other people. And if you have Jewish people or non-Jewish, it doesn't matter. Yeshua came for everybody. Go and share about this rabbi, about the message. Take people to the gospel. Take people to the Bible. It's time. We're in the end times. It's time to get the truth out. It's time to say that Yeshua is the Messiah. He's the way. There is no other way. I'm a little bit excited, as you can see.
Well, this is incredibly exciting, and sharing this with the listeners today, understand, listeners, how powerful this story is, because this is just one more prophetic thing unfolding in God's timing as he draws us to, closer to the end times and Messiah Yeshua's return. So this is really exciting. I know why you're excited, Zeb, because what's happening. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think WorldNet Daily did an article on you, not only about the Rabbi Kaduri, but also about your witnessing to the imam using Rabbi Kaduri.
Yeah, well, first of all,
and that came out.
Didn't
that come out this week?
It came out yesterday.
Yesterday, yes.
Yes, it came out yesterday.
And that's really exciting.
I'm sorry?
I just said that was really exciting. So, yeah, go ahead, Zev.
I'm just saying we're small people with a big God, and, it's not about me. It's not about it. It's all about Yeshua HaMashiach, and you know what? If God has a covering on you and God tells you to go, just go, because, as I said, greater is he that lives in us than the one in the world. And you know what? With all this excitement, God said, how excited are you? He asked me, and I said, I'm very excited. He said, well, let's see how excited you are. I want you to go to a mosque.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when he said, I want you to go to a mosque, I have to admit, I wasn't so excited. the first thing that came over me was fear. I have to admit that.
Yeah. And, I remember that.
Because, to go to, first of all, as a native-born Israeli Jew, to go into a mosque, forget the Jesus part, just as an Israeli to go in there, they don't like Israelis, and they'll think it's an offense or something if you go in there. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that it's dangerous. You can actually get killed because, who's to say once they close the door of a mosque, they can do anything they want to you. They can eliminate you. And, I guarantee you that the last place the Israeli authorities are going to look for someone's in a mosque. That would be the last. I've never seen anybody in Israel that was missing or that was killed or that was, that had a problem, that the police were looking for him. They never asked. So that would be the perfect place somewhere. So that was, the enemy was using this in my head, but the Holy Spirit said, go, I'll cover you. So I went. He said, I want you to go to Haifa. So I went to Haifa, and in Haifa there's many mosques. So the Holy Spirit said, when you get there, you'll know which one to go to. And, God was really testing me. He says, I want you to go to the biggest mosque there. And I said, thanks a lot, Yeshua. So I'll go to the biggest one. So I went to the biggest one. I figured, okay, might as well, if you're going to go big, you might as well go to the big one, right? So I get to the mosque. The doors are shut. I think I'll just read our outreach report to you, if that would be okay.
Sure, go ahead. The listeners would love to hear this, because, it just shows how when Almighty God calls you to do something, just listen to what the Spirit is leading you to do, because God will cover you no matter what it is. If he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. So go ahead, Zev, and share with the listeners. This is an amazing, amazing supernatural story. So go ahead, Zev.
Okay. I'm just reading an outreach report now, okay? We at Messiah of Israel Ministries always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit before we go out on outreaches. This time, Zev received revelation from the Holy Spirit that he was to go to a mosque in Haifa and to share the good news of Yeshua to the Muslims. Zev did not know what mosque, but the Holy Spirit showed him that when he got there, he would know. He was also directed to take Bibles in Arabic and Hebrew. That's another dangerous thing, because to go into a mosque with a Bible, that's like going in a synagogue with pork. All right? Something like that. Okay, and then of course...
Not a good thing.
To walk into a mosque with a Bible and preach the gospel is very dangerous and can lead to death. Once the door of the mosque is shut, you can easily be eliminated. The last place people will look for you is in a mosque. But with the power of God, we are protected to accomplish his purpose. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. So these are the verses that God, God directs us. All right. When we arrived to Haifa, the Holy Spirit directed Zev to go to the big mosque in Haifa. As Zev knocked on the mosque door, two Muslims asked, what do you want? Are you Muslims? Zev, I am not a Muslim, but I come here to deliver a message with love. They told us to wait and looked at Zev with anger and hatred in their eyes. And that kind of hatred that I'm talking about, when I was in the IDF, the Israeli army, I saw that kind of hatred. So I know what they were looking at me. That was the hatred of murder. But, after a few minutes, the imam of the mosque named Saeed came to the door and asked Zev if he's a Muslim. Zev answered no. So Saeed asked, why do you want to come in the mosque? Zev, I have a very important message for you from God. Saeed asked, what God? Zev, there is only one true God for all the nations, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise the Lord. Now, this is really supernatural. Saeed agreed and let me in. And we took off our shoes, out of respect. Even Paul talks about this. To the Jew, I was a Jew. To the Greek, I was a Greek. We don't compromise the word of God, but we respect cultures when we preach the gospel. So we took off our shoes and walked inside the mosque. Saeed said, let me show you who is God. So he actually wanted to show me God, his God. He opened Islam's holy book, the Quran. While he was reading the false demonic book, Zev was praying. I'm telling you, I was praying while he was doing this. He's reading the book and I'm praying. Zev never disputes the Quran because the word of God, the Bible, can defend itself. The supernatural power of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, was at work inside the spiritually dark mosque. Zev then asked Saeed to put his Quran down. I asked him, I was saying in my heart, I was saying, in the name of Yeshua, put that Quran down, but I didn't say in the name of Yeshua to him. I said, put the Quran down, and he does it. He puts the Quran down. And I tell him, I love you and I love the Arab people. God sent me here to tell you how much he loves you. Amazingly, Saeed was in shock and did not know how to grasp this message. Zev then opened the word and read together with Saeed in Arabic. It's an Arabic Hebrew Bible. So he read. I was reading in Hebrew and he was reading in Arabic, the word of God. And then 1 John 4:9-11, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son for our sins. If God so loved the world, so this love brought Saeed he was just in shock. And then I explained to Saeed, this is the true word of God. This is the true word of God. And there's only one true Yeshua who came to die for the Jews, Arabs, and all mankind. He died on the tree for our sins. He rose after 3 days, and by his blood we have full redemption of sins if we repent, believe, and trust in him. And then I quoted, of course, you know, Genesis 17:20 about Ishmael, about the Arabs. As for Ishmael, I have heard of you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him. He shall become the father of 12 princesses, and I will make him a great nation. So I was telling him, God loves the Arab people. He blessed Ishmael. So God is calling you out of the darkness to the light of Messiah Yeshua. He wants your heart. And Saeed was starting to get very nervous, but the Holy Spirit was in full control. The light of Yeshua was in the dark mosque. And then Saeed then told Zev, your own people, he said to me, your own people don't accept this message, so you come to us. And then I told Saeed with love and compassion that God loves all people, and so does Zev. Every time Zev said the word love, every time I said the word love, Saeed became calm. You know, the Bible says love conquers all, and it's so true. Every time I said, God loves you, I love you, he became calm. He wanted to get angry, he became calm again. And then Saeed told Zev that many Jews and Arabs, Zev told Saeed that many Jews and Arabs are coming to see the truth that Yeshua is the Messiah. And then finally God, again, in a mosque, led me to talk about the Rabbi Kaduri. Don't ask me how the Holy Spirit was in control. I suddenly asked him, do you know who Rabbi Kaduri is? And Saeed said, yes, it's a Jewish leader. I explained about Rabbi Kaduri's story and how he left a note saying that Yeshua is the Messiah. Saeed was fascinated. And then God was using Rabbi Kaduri's note to open a good conversation with a leader of a mosque. Zev read many Bible verses and gave Saeed the full gospel. After that, Saeed told Zev that he's never seen a Jew love him. He's never seen that before. It was clear that the hand of God was working on Saeed. Again, love conquers all. Zev will meet with Saeed and other Muslims. Please pray for his salvation. So this is basically what happened and how we got to talk about the Rabbi Kaduri story in a mosque.
It's just incredible how supernaturally God worked in that situation. I mean, I remember you telling me you were going to a mosque and we talked about it and it was like, oh my goodness. But we knew something supernatural was going to happen. We just had no idea how supernatural God was going to do there. But what an amazing outreach that was. And Lynn was there with your wife, wasn't she?
Yeah, because if you notice in the beginning, I said we're not Muslims. So Lynn put that head covering, Arabic head covering on. And, you know, we managed to get some pictures. It wasn't so easy. We got some pictures of me and Saeed together in the mosque. But, you know, Lynn, I got to hand it to her, praise God, that she's under that that mask and she's clicking on the camera. But praise God for that. That's all.
God has his ways, doesn't he, Zev?
Absolutely.
Well, Don, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I think it's fascinating. I mean, I think everything that's happening with Zev in Israel is fascinating. And I told you earlier that I think people in the United States have this impression of Israel as if it was this very holy. Everybody feels very spiritually connected to their faith. I'm not sure people understand how secular it has become, so it makes everything that Zev does even more inspiring. Especially in today's environment, considering what's happening geopolitically. You know, I was telling Christina Zev that somebody had put on Facebook last night that they were asking somebody that was in Israel how things were going. And the person told them, oh, it's wonderful here. The, you know, sun is shining, the grass is growing, everything's fantastic. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they're connected in a different way. Or, so can you speak a little bit to that? Because I think everything that's happening now, you know, that's coming out politically, people aren't really considering the consequences to us and Israel. Could you tell us what the sort of feeling is in Israel right now?
I will, but before I do, I just feel led just to read Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. So no matter what's happening, we know that all things work together for good in the end, and victory in Yeshua HaMashiach, no matter what's happening in the world. And but to answer your question about the spiritual situation in Israel, yes, you're right. Israel is a very much secular state. Yes, we have a lot of Orthodox Jews. Yes, and I mentioned that they're in control. But Tel Aviv and other cities are very, very secular, maybe even more secular than New York. And, you know, unfortunately, we have the gay parade coming up here. And, you know, the mayor of Tel Aviv and the rabbis, they just shut their eyes, will close nine streets in Tel Aviv, to allow the gay parade to take over for 11 hours with parties and everything. But if a Messianic Jew says he wants to do a parade preaching the gospel or just on the sidewalk, you know, it's going to cause a riot and no one will allow it. So they'll allow the gays to be out there, but they won't allow the Word of God to be out there. So that just shows you how secular it is. And you mentioned about, you know, the situation, you know, when President Obama was here last year, the people in Israel, the non-believers, didn't exactly know who he was. They thought he was a friend of Israel. There were posters of Israel, and people were greeting him, and I know that he spoke to 1,000 Israelis, and they were excited about it. But after the course of the year, they saw the true face of Mr. Obama, that he's no friend of Israel. He's maybe a friend of the Muslims or a friend of the terrorists, but he's not a friend of Israel. And right now, people are realizing that his true colors are out. And, you know, in the secular realm and in the Orthodox realm, although everybody's busy in their own life, you're right, but at least they're realizing that it's time to turn to God. It's time to turn to the real source, because they're not going to get it in politics. They're not going to get it from a man who claims to be a friend of Israel, but he's no more than a tool of Satan. So, God, again, Romans 8:28. You know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them we're called according to his purpose. So God's going to turn this whole situation around in the secular realm and everything. And even in the gay parade, I know that I'm encouraging more and more people this year to stand up in the gay parade June 1st, I believe, to go and to hand out Bibles and to talk to people and tell them God loves them. You know, God loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin. So, you know, that's the message, and we're going to be out there preaching the gospel and sharing the truth in the situation of the secular situation that we see here in Israel. So to answer your question, yes, but God is using it for good.
Amen. Do they realize now, too, are they seeing that Obama's literally threatening Netanyahu, that if you don't do it our way, there's going to be consequences? We're going to make it very uncomfortable to you. And part of this ultimatum that this president, who is not a president of America, sadly, because he does not share the values of this country, but... No, he wants part of Jerusalem. And you know what the Lord says about dividing Jerusalem in
scriptures.
He's not covered by the blood of the Lamb. He better, you know, he's gonna have to deal with the pulse of the Norikers.
Yeah, well, Ariel Sharon found out how well that went, didn't he?
Absolutely. You know, either you turn to Yeshua HaMashiach and you're covered, or you're in big trouble.
That's right. That's right. And that's where it's at. You know, we're getting ready to, speaking of the gay pride, you know, every year here where I live, they have it on Easter. Now, granted, we don't, you know, subscribe to Easter. We do Passover, but the point, in fact, is that's the day they pick to do their gay pride parade, and they have an entire weekend. It's not just, you know, so many hours. They have an entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that this goes on. It's called the White Party.
Well, it looks like Israel beat you on that one, because they have what they call the Bumbamela Festival, which is apparently something from India. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Bumbamela.
No.
And it's here in It's here in Passover for 8 days. It's 8 days of sin. All right, that's what it's called, 8 days of sin. All right? The biggest sin that they'll allow you to do without being arrested, okay? And that includes a lot of stuff. And 15 years old, age 45 are over there. And, of course, we're there preaching the gospel as well. And over there, there's tents. They have certain tents that people rent. So they have a rabbinic tent, and they have a Hare Krishna tent. They have a Buddha tent. They have a Lubavitch tent. They used to have a believer tent, but they won't allow it anymore. Last year, I was kind of happy they didn't allow a tent, because I said, you know what, that gives me an excuse to walk into their tents. So I went over there to Bumamela, and I walked in their tent, and they said, why are you walking in our tent? I said, because you won't let us have a tent. So we're preaching the gospel right here. So I think this year they're going to allow us to have a tent, because they had enough of the preaching in their tent. So praise God for that.
You're like a fly buzzing around, Zeb. They're just going, would you just go away? But you know, God is doing such a mighty work there in Israel, you know, through your ministry. And that's so exciting, is to see all this, because, you know, we talked about Rabbi Kaduri and the Rabbi Kaduri students, and, you know, that's going to... As a matter of fact, after the radio show, Zev has another discipleship session with the Rabbi Kaduri. And so powerful, powerful things are happening. And we can look at the world today and we can see how bad and ugly it is. But as Zev's just shared with us, you know, God has his own plans. And if you're covered in the blood of Messiah Yeshua, you know, you don't need to be in fear. Because God will take care of his own. But he's not happy with this world right now. But our job is to bring in the harvest, and that's what God is doing in such a powerful way through your ministry. You were sharing with me yesterday, Zed, that, you know, what a powerful day you had yesterday. So what happened yesterday?
Yesterday a lot of things happened, but, you know, you talk about the meeting with the rabbi?
Well, you had several things that went on yesterday, but you just said it was just such a powerful day. You were
Absolutely.
Going from
well,
place. I don't know exactly what happened. You didn't expand on it in your message.
Okay. There's an anti-missionary organization here in Israel called Yad Lachim, which is called Jews for Judaism. Now, this anti-missionary organization was founded for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to save the souls of Jews, as they say, from the missionaries, from the danger of the gospel. So they're out there, you know, telling everybody to stay away from Yeshua and to persecute us and somehow they want to help us. They say, we want to deprogram you. You know, you have an illness, and we want to deprogram you. So that's their mission. But, you know, they'll do that in the office, in the street. They can get very, very violent and very, very scared. What God has, they can, you know, try to scare you. What God has shown me over the years is that if you show them that you are not afraid of them, they start being afraid. And many times they try to persecute us. There's a video on YouTube where they actually, you know, we were in a dangerous situation. We were in Orthodox City one time, and usually when I have tourists that want to go out with us, you know, from America, from other places in the world that want to go out with us, what I do is I do like a little course on how to witness the Jewish people and, you know, in various places. When you go into Orthodox City, You don't want to you know, come in with a new covenant. You want to respect and use the old covenant. You want to try to use the messianic prophecies, Melech David, King David. You know, bring it to the gospel, but through Moses, okay?
And that's what you're trying to preach to an Orthodox Jew or to Jews?
Yes, we're talking about Orthodox Jews. So we had an opportunity in a very Orthodox city, and one of the people from the United States, from Ohio, apparently accidentally forgot, and he took his Tehillim, his Psalms book, and inside three places he wrote the name Jesus, but he forgot about it. So we were preaching the gospel, and one of the Orthodox Jews saw the name Jesus, and he lost his mind. And I was witnessing, and there was three women with us, and Lynn was there, and another evangelist from the United States. And before we knew it, I was noticing that the crowd around us is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And before I knew it, we were surrounded by a pack of wolves.
Ooh.
We were surrounded by a pack of wolves. And it wasn't even them. Satan was working through them, and they physically assaulted some of the ladies over there. And again, before we knew it, there was five motorcycles came. The police came with motorcycles, and they said, you guys are going to get killed. We are going to escort you out of the city. So before you know it, we had five motorcycles escorting us out of the city. Michael, the other evangelist, they broke his guitar. They smashed my telephone. They took my Bible, and I said, you know, that's the Word of God. And they ripped it up. I said, you know, that you just tore the Word of God. They tore the Word of God. They lost their mind. And, you know, but I wasn't going to run. You know, I don't run from the enemy. I walked out of the city. And before I knew it, they were calling people. They're probably talking in Yiddish or something. They're calling people out. 450 Orthodox men, women, and children were after us with five motorcycles escorting us out because this Michael forgot and left the word Jesus in the Bible, okay? Accidentally, in English. And when we got to the street, the main street is called Jabotinsky. When we got to the street, something amazing happened. You know, if you're driving your car and you see 450 Orthodox Jews with motorcycles escorting six people out of a city, you're going to stop to look what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people stopped and asked us, what is happening? And I said, we're preaching the truth, and this is what happened. You know what happened that same evening? Two people got saved because of the persecution.
Praise God.
Glory
Romans
God.
8:28, huh?
I would do it again, I'm telling you. I would do it again.
Incredible.
That would bring salvation. I would tell everybody to walk in there with Jesus in the Bible. I don't care.
Incredible. And, you know, it's just amazing, though, how God works. Because it doesn't matter how negative it looks. If he sent you to a place, if you're there for his calling and you're doing, you know, for his work, then amazing things are going to happen. And you see it every day, Zev. I mean, every day in your ministry, all these supernatural things that God is doing each and every day. And listeners, I can't encourage you enough to join Zev's ministry, messiahofisraelministries.org. And sign up for his email so that you get these outreach reports where he shares these amazing experiences that God is doing through his ministry to reach the lost sheep of Israel. This is what this is about. And it's just powerful, powerful stuff. You know, you don't want to miss what God is doing in Israel because, biblically speaking, we are absolutely connected to Israel. You know, it keeps going back, Zev, to Romans 9, 10, and 11, doesn't it?
Absolutely, but you asked me a question before about my outreach yesterday, and I got sidetracked by taking you to one of the outreaches from years ago. The reason is because I wanted to explain what Yad Lachim is, the anti-missionary organization. Well, anyway, God has put it in my heart once a month or once every 3 weeks to go and to meet with Yad Lachim, to go meet with these missionaries, with these anti-missionaries in their office in Jerusalem Street, Bnei Brak, the Orthodox city. And the reason they allow me to go there is because they tell me, we want to deprogram you. And number two, we want you in the office. We don't want you in the street. So, you know, they have their motivation. But the way that God had me connect with them the first time was, you know, they have things posted on me on the Internet. They call me the Kotel Bandit, and they said I'm a danger to Judaism. That's okay, but I'm not a danger to Judaism. They're a danger to Judaism. They just don't know it. But anyways, I went to their office 4 years ago. They said, what are you doing here? And I said, I want to talk to the main rabbi. And they asked, are you here alone? And I said, yes. Now, apparently they didn't believe I was here alone. They probably thought there was 80 believers outside. They don't understand that you don't need anybody. You just need God. But in their mind, they can't understand that. So they probably thought that there was a lot of people outside, so they were kind of scared. So they allowed me to come in, and I spoke to the rabbi, and I said, look, I took out my Bible. I said, you know who I am. You know who my family is. This is the Jewish Bible. I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, Jesus, based on the scriptures. I know you don't believe that. Can we sit down and have a discussion? That was 4 years ago. Since then, I've been talking to them every month, not to four or six rabbis about the gospel. Their motivation, to get me out of the gospel. My motivation, to glorify God. It doesn't matter. You know, Paul was in prison, and the guards, it says the book of Philippians, the guards were mocking him. I'll say, it doesn't matter what their motivation is, the gospel's getting out. So that's kind of the attitude that I have. You know what? I'm still praying that one of those anti-missionaries or anti-Christ of Yeshua as the Messiah, I'm going to continue to meet them. And again, as I said before, if you show them that God is with you, that's when they start being scared.
I believe that there's going to be something supernatural there too, Zev. You know, this every month you go, I believe that as we get closer, you know, to Messiah's return, to Yeshua's return, that something supernatural is going to happen there. That's what dropped into my spirit while you were speaking. So, it's incredible. It's incredible.
So anyways, I met the rabbi yesterday, Rabbi Stiglitz over there, and the discussion we had, Rabbi Stiglitz. So we had a discussion yesterday. We've been over Micah 5 a thousand times. Micah 5 is the birth of a king in Bethlehem, and of course we know that's Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's agreed with me over and over that the only one that can be before the foundation of the world. By the way, there's many translations in English. Some say days of old, others say days of eternity. But the Hebrew one says, Yamav Meimei Kedem Yamav, which translates as days are before the foundation of the world. It's a little bit more powerful. It's not to say that the English is wrong. It's just to say that the Hebrew is a little bit, just, you know, because it's the original language, it's a little bit more powerful. Before the foundation of the world, it has to be God. And he admitted that only God can be before the foundation of the world. So basically, he called the baby in Micah 5 God. And he's trying to convince me that's not what he says. And we've been having a discussion about that for a year. But I'm not going to give up on him.
Oh, absolutely not. Well, we'll lift him up in prayer, won't we, Don?
Absolutely.
And Zev, real quick, you know, jumping back to Rabbi Kaduri, we mentioned the book and the companion DVD, and now God has connected you with Carl Gallups, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Amazingly, yes. You know, Carl's the author of the book of the Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And looking back right now, I see the work of the Holy Spirit here because, you know, as I said, I met the Rabbi Kaduri students after the note was out. Obviously,
that was
I
over
knew that
2 years ago, wasn't it, Zach?
Over 2 years ago, discipleship, the word's been getting out. Then the book's been published 4 months already right now. God connected me and Carl together. We're getting the message out. It's just the hand of God working supernaturally, one piece at a time. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to see what's next. You know, it's 10:30 at night here in Israel. I'm so excited. I'm going to be talking to the Rabbi Kaduri students just in a little while as we get off the radio over here. And I can't, you know what, if I could skip sleeping tonight, I would do it because I want to get back to the streets.
I know, Zev. it's a blessing that God makes you sleep every night to get a little rest. You know, even the Lord rested.
Well, I'm always amazed by your tenacity, your perseverance, and more, I'm inspired by the absolute joy you get for your mission, and even under the sort of, you know, what can be the worst of circumstances. That's really contagious, and I love that about you.
Well, praise God, and believe me, I have a lot of personal circumstances and a lot of ministry circumstances, but you know what? I don't allow anything to distract me. I focus on Yeshua and Yeshua, Him crucified only, and that's the message. Nothing else. I don't see anything else except for Him on the tree.
I guess that's an important lesson for us all to sort of take with us. Everything else pales in comparison.
Absolutely. And if you keep your eyes focused on the Lord, you know, He will accomplish in your life what He wants if you allow Him, if you open yourself up and allow Him to work through you. Everybody has a part. This is Zev's part, and, oh, he does it with such humility and such joy in his heart. Yes, we all have personal problems. But if we leave those personal problems on the altar and then be about God's business, God will take care of the personal problems. Phony Zev.
Absolutely. And you know what? Who's in control? Who's in control?
God.
We can't do anything. We can't do anything.
Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But through Him, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. You know, just a short testimony. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching the gospel in Jaffa. And there was a man on a wheelchair, and he was depressed, and he was upset. And he said, you know, you're talking about God. I was talking to the guy that was taking care of him, the nurse or the nanny or whatever it's called. I was talking to him about the gospel, and he was telling him, you know, he said, I'm in a wheelchair and my life is miserable. And I said, well, who gave you life? Read some scripture, who gave you life? He says, then why am I in a wheelchair? I said, you're in a wheelchair because you don't trust God. Put your trust in God, you won't be in the wheelchair. You know what? And I'm not saying that he's walking yet, but he's capable of moving his legs already. So God's doing miracles. And we know about the Holocaust survivor, Alex. You know that testimony?
How's Alex doing?
Alex is doing great. We did some physical therapy together, and he you know what? I got tired, and he didn't.
Oh, praise God.
And glory to Yeshua.
That's another miracle there because, as we've shared before, but those that don't know, Alex was a Holocaust survivor, and, you know, he's very elderly, and he recently fell, and the doctors told him he would never walk again. And Zev says, oh, no, he's going to walk. Yeshua's, you know, he's going to be healed in the name of Yeshua. And the doctors or nurses are, you know, scoffing, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? Alex is walking. Praise God. And you know what? Zev is now ministering to the doctors and the nurses because they couldn't believe what they saw.
Wow.
So you talk about God opening up doors. Some
and
things just don't make sense. But you know what? They make sense to God.
Amen. And his doctor, Dr. Ben Chaim, he's on the way to be a believer right now. He's almost there, praise God.
Oh, praise God. You know, this is, I hope that everyone is hearing this, how God is moving supernaturally. So you can look at all the stuff going on in the world and think, oh, my God, everything's, you know, unraveling and it's bad and it's this. But God is in charge and he's got his own plans. And believe me, listening to Zev today, God is moving in such a mighty way. So keep your eyes focused on God, huh, Zev?
Absolutely. There's no other way. There's nothing else to look for. You know, there's going to be a lot of antichrists and a lot of false prophets and a lot of lovers of Israel like Obama. But you know what? In the end of the day, it's only Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. Amen. And they eventually reveal their true colors, you know. But our job is to get as many of these lost sheep to come to know Messiah Yeshua before his return. That's our job. So with that being said, we're coming to the end of our show, listeners. And I just want to thank you so much for joining us. And we hope that this show has been a blessing to you and that you really take this into your spirit and understand mighty and powerful things that God is doing right now in these end times. And so, and I would, again, encourage you all to sign up on Zev's website, www.messiahofisraelministries.org, and like him on Facebook as well at facebook.com/messiahofisraelministries. So be sure, because you don't want to miss what God is doing. It's supernaturally powerful now. So, Zev, would you like to give us some closing thoughts and maybe close us out in prayer today?
Well, thoughts is the opening thoughts, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Mm-hmm. What better thoughts? Don?
Well, I just want to say that I hope people do take this podcast and give it to their friends. And in those moments when we feel our most weary and dejected and feel like there's nothing that we're doing that's going to change things, I think this is the uplifting part. Zev being able to share with us what he's doing, that inspires me every day. So hopefully it'll inspire you.
Well, that's what we're hoping as we share this, and, you know, that everybody realizes that God is in charge. And, you know, we have our problems, but there's nothing too great for our God if you just give it over to him. And he will just remember, as Yeshua is, so are we in this world. So we need to be about his business. All right, Zev, would you like to close us in prayer? I mean, I'd love to have one of the prayers in Hebrew. It's just beautiful.
Avinu Shebashamayim, Adon Olam, Heavenly Father, Lord Yeshua, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you that we can glorify your name and that we can spread your word, what you're doing. You're a God of miracles, a God of love, and a God of mercy. Atah Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, ve'Elohei Yaakov. We thank you, Father, for sending your son, Yeshua HaMashiach, to die for our sins. You rose after 3 days, and by his blood we have full redemption of sin, and we have the promise of being in your house forever and evermore, in eternity, in the New Jerusalem. L'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Adonainu. We thank you for City on the Hill Radio. We thank you for Don and Ms. Christina and for Diana for allowing us to speak today. And may God bless her ministry and everything she's doing for the kingdom. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh Adonai Tzvaot. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Ha'osen nisim veniflaot. Badam shir Yeshua HaMashiach Adonainu. Baruch Hu Amen. We pray all these things in the name, above all names, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Zev, for joining us today. It was certainly a powerful show, and we're just so blessed to be able to be a part of what's going on in Israel and to see all the mighty things that God is doing. So I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And Diana will be back with you tomorrow, but I just filled in for her today. So God bless you all, and thank you for joining us. And please remember to listen every day to City on the Hill and share the podcast with everyone. So blessings. Shalom, Zev. Shalom, Don. Oh, you're
shalom,
welcome.
Don. And shalom from Israel.
Shalom. Goodbye.